This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan together with Juliet Jacobs and T. Xiao Eek. As usual, we have two stories for you today.
First up, the World Health Organization, WHO, says that COVID-19 has the potential to become a pandemic. So we'll be speaking with WHO's representative to Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei, Dr. Low Ying Ru, to get her to explain exactly what kind of pandemic preparedness is required of countries. So countries outside of China are seeing a sudden increase in COVID-19 cases, and of particular concern for those who are monitoring this issue are the cases that are spiking in Italy, Iran and South Korea. So just to give a quick update, in South Korea there are actually already more than 1,500 cases, perhaps even more as I speak, and 12 deaths out of that. Italy is also of concern, more than 450 cases and also 12 deaths. And Iran actually is quite alarming. More than 130 cases, which is lower, but out of that, 19 deaths. So if you think about that, the fatality rate is very high. And, you know, to add to the sort of shaky public confidence over there, I mean, the news that Iran's own deputy health minister has been confirmed to have COVID-19, I think, strikes quite a blow to the country.
Yes. Well, there is some good news, and that is that the original epicenter of COVID, which is Wuhan, saw the epidemic peak and plateau between 23rd of January and the 2nd of February, and it has been declining steadily ever since.
So, as I said, though, the spike in other countries is what public health authorities are looking at now. And on Monday, WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus stressed the need to focus on containment, but also to do everything that we can to prepare for a potential pandemic.
But even so, WHO is cautious about declaring a pandemic, as we are not witnessing sustained and intensive community transmission of the virus at the moment, nor are we witnessing large-scale severe disease or death. So for some context, you know, China has fewer than 80,000 cases in a population of 1.4 billion people. In the rest of the world, there are 2,790 cases in a population of 6.3 billion.
Right. So the last time that the WHO declared a pandemic was actually more than 10 years ago now, in 2009, for the then novel H1N1 strain of influenza. And actually, even then, WHO was, you know, subsequently criticized for calling it a pandemic on the basis that it triggered expensive countermeasures in some countries, and which some deemed were actually unnecessary. So I guess WHO now, you know, is being a lot more cautious and does not want countries to launch pandemic preparedness plans that may not even be suitable for this particular outbreak.
Right. So Dr. Tedros explained that using the word pandemic carelessly has no tangible benefit. Instead, it actually has significant risk in terms of amplifying unnecessary and unjustified fear, stigma, and it paralyzes systems. So the use of the word pandemic may also signal that we can no longer contain the virus, and that's not true.
Yeah, that's not true, because we see that containment is working in some countries, not only in China, but if you look at the fact that 14 countries that had cases have not reported a case for more than a week, and even more importantly, 9 countries have not reported a case for more than 2 weeks.
You know, but that's no reason to start taking it easy. The WHO warned the world to be prepared for the emergence of a disease X a couple of years ago, and yet COVID still took us all by surprise.
Yeah. So in an ideal situation, every country should be ready for a pandemic in its ability to detect cases early, to isolate patients, to trace contacts, to provide quality clinical care, to prevent hospital outbreaks, and to prevent community transmission.
Yeah, but that is going to be a real challenge since most countries aren't actually prepared for that. And this is based on a study from Johns Hopkins Center for Global Health Security, which they did, which they published late last year. And after they investigated 195 countries, they found that most had insufficient systems in place for detecting novel diseases, for being able to rapidly contain the spread, or even to be able to care for the sick. So I spoke to the WHO's representative to Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei, Dr. Ying Ru Lo, to find out whether here in Malaysia are we prepared. I started by asking her what exactly constitutes a pandemic.
Well, that's an important question. WHO has already declared a public health emergency of international concern, and that is in fact our highest level of alarm. That was on 30th of January this year. Mm-hmm. And we are also concerned about the spike of cases outside of China, namely in Iran, Italy and South Korea. It is too soon to say we are witnessing uncontained global spread of the virus. So what we are seeing currently is not uncontrolled human-to-human spread of the virus in many countries, but just few pockets of rapid spread in these countries, which I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And most of these cases, clusters and outbreaks, are traceable, meaning that widespread community transmission is not evident. Mm. And what we also see that in some countries, we have even seen a slowing of transmission or stopping of transmission. So slowing of transmission obviously has happened in China, and you may have followed the WHO global press conference held during the past 2 days about the mission to China. But we must remain alert for the possibility of reintroduction, and that it is very likely that there will be more cases in more places, in particular because we now, all the countries are alerted, we have surveillance systems, we have active case finding, contact tracing in place, so it's very likely that we are seeing more cases. So WHO is following the situation constantly at all three levels, including in Malaysia, Brunei and Singapore. Our office is responsible for these three countries. And we are coordinating and supporting countries around the globe to enhance their preparedness and response capacities and capabilities.
You know, for the average person, there are so many terms that raise concern for us. So the use of, a global health emergency. Now we are hearing that it could potentially be a pandemic. And then we hear when individual countries will raise their, sort of alert levels. What exactly, so let's just take the WHO's latest sort of caution then, that countries should be prepared for a pandemic. What should the average person take away from that?
Well, we do have a public health emergency of international concern with COVID-19. But at the moment, we, for example, in Malaysia, we are at a point where we have a very limited transmission. We have cases which are linked to cases in China, for example, or to close contact with people who were sick, to an area of conveyance that was a ship which came from Hong Kong and was docking in Cambodia. So I think what the general public should take away, at the moment we are at a stage where we are preparing in the initial phase of preparedness in many countries, including in Malaysia. So that means assessing infection prevention and control as healthcare settings and points of entry, for example, in airports and ports of entry, harbors. Information should be provided to the general public on what to do when infection is suspected, so considering a hotline. Thirdly is establishing and ensuring access to diagnostic services for infection, including for an international reference lab. This is all what's happening in Malaysia, in fact. Mm-hmm. And the fourth point is raising awareness among health workers, and they are the most likely to come into contact with a potential case. So the takeaway is don't panic. Mm-hmm. Initial preparedness actions have been ongoing, and in particular in Malaysia, but also in Singapore and in Brunei Darussalam. Mm-hmm. And we feel that Malaysia is, in terms of outbreak response planning, Malaysia is currently in sort of an early containment phase. So we think the Malaysian people are in good hands.
Okay, all right. And you say that's sort of like the initial stage of pandemic preparedness. What would it look like if we had to go into full-scale preparedness?
So as part of outbreak response planning, all countries plan for the possibility of uncontained global spread of a disease and that they have systems in place to take coordinated actions to strengthen outbreak preparedness and response measures. For example, in Malaysia, Malaysia has enhanced health education, advice to the general public. They're very active in mainstream media, social media, on TV, everywhere. Secondly, Malaysia has maintained infection prevention control at all levels. It has expanded and enhanced surveillance and its lab capacity, strengthened case management for people who are unwell in hospitals. You've seen that all on social media. They have activated rapid assessment teams and rapid response teams at all levels. They have enhanced coordination and established a joint working group between the different ministry under the former deputy prime minister. So probably it was very likely this will continue after the change of government or new government being appointed, among many, many others. So moving to from the early containment phase to a containment phase to mitigation, that is the mitigation phase is usually where you can see social disruption. And what does it mean, a mitigation phase? It means that there are sustained transmission in the community, so that there are infections occurring which cannot be linked back to a country of origin or people who were sick, and the infections pop up left and right independently.
And widely
in a country. So that's where we come to mitigation. And what WHO is actually recommending to all countries, based on the lessons we learned during the SARS epidemic and MERS corona epidemic, is you have to be prepared very early onwards for this moving from containment, so interrupting transmission, to mitigation, which means basically reducing harm.
Okay.
Right. So the strategy would change, and you cannot just switch it on from one day to the other. So what we are recommending, the country should always be prepared for mitigation, irrespective of what kind disease outbreak is happening.
I see.
And this judgment, when to move from containment to mitigation, that's a complicated judgment. It's to the country, to the government to decide. It's a multi-agency, multi-ministerial decision which has to be made very carefully. Malaysia is not at this stage.
Okay. But what kind of mitigation measures does WHO recommend for all countries?
Well, we will have discussions, or we are constantly having discussions with the international health regulation focal persons, also with the ministers. So while all countries are different and have different systems, they often prepare and implement pandemic preparedness plans before an outbreak occurs and integrate them into national emergency preparedness and response frameworks. So what are the measures? So we have an operational planning guide to support country preparedness and response, and this starts with coordination planning and monitoring, risk communication, community engagement, surveillance, infection prevention control, case management, and operational support and logistics. So what is new, or what would be coming into addition? What would be different is really that you, it would no longer be feasible to maintain a containment approach. Interrupting transmission, the interruption of transmission, the containment, what's currently ongoing is really finding cases, so active case management and active case finding and detection, contact tracing and containment, the quarantine, self-quarantine. And that, if that's no longer feasible, then you would move to a stage where the objective is to reduce the impact of the outbreak. That means you would no longer do these containment measures, but you would prepare, like for influenza, for example, you would prepare to continue hand hygiene, respiratory hygiene, and a face mask for sick or in symptomatic individuals. Mm-hmm. You would continue the voluntary isolation of ill individuals, and you would enhance the environmental measures, surface and object cleaning, but you would no longer pursue this case finding and quarantining exposed individuals or incoming travelers. You would also consider moving or enhancing social distancing measures. That's very disruptive.
Right.
For example, avoiding crowding, mass gatherings, and that's a difficult step to take. And we are working on guidance, we have actually released a guidance on the web, which looks at these mass gatherings and crowding to ensure social distancing.
I see.
What is also important is public health measures. This includes that the hospitals are prepared, that you have sufficient staff to diagnose and manage patients.
And if it should reach the levels of a pandemic, is there an end point in sight?
So what we see now in globally, for example, what we see in China, and you may have seen the reports from the team leader of the mission to China, is that with the interventions in China, which were quite drastic, they could really flatten the epidemic curve. So it means they had a high rise in new infections. That's what we call you can see that really new infections rising. That's a curve. And then usually it drops down. Every epidemic stops at some point of time, but it drops down, it flattens because of certain interventions having been put in place in China. You can see that also happening at the same time in other places in China outside of Wuhan or outside of Hubei province. I think it depends on the countries, but it's too early to say. It depends on the individual countries where cases are detected.
Okay.
So in Malaysia, for example, as we have seen from the reports of the Ministry of Health, there were no new cases since 15th of February, but there may be another case coming in with a traveler from country XYZ. So it's difficult to say, but given the measures, for example, Malaysia has put in place, at least Malaysia is well prepared.
Yes.
But you are never ready. It's a continuous process. I think it would be good to remind the public as a key message. There's so much you can do yourself, so please don't panic. Wash your hands, use alcoholic hand wraps, cough into your elbow or into a tissue and throw it away and wash your hands and distance yourself, social distancing. So I think Malaysians are doing very well with that. We don't see everyone wearing a face mask. They are really reserved for the people who are not well, who are sick. And that's my key message to the public in Malaysia.
Thank you very much, Dr. Low. That was Dr. Ying Ru Lo, WHO's representative to Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei, and she gave us a rundown of what countries should be prepared for if COVID-19 develops into a pandemic. And you know, on this note, we also spoke to infectious disease physician Dr. Christopher Lee on the Health and Living Show last week about what the general public needs to know when it comes to dealing with COVID. And he sort of had the same kind of caution for us that we need to be continually vigilant about the transmission of COVID, because the thing to look out for now is not just cases from China, but unlinked cases within the community in other countries, you know, places like South Korea and Japan. And he had also raised the importance of planning for mitigating the impact of COVID. So do download that podcast. You can search for COVID-19 or you can search for Dr. Christopher Lee. He had a lot of good advice for what at least we, the general public, can do.
Yeah, and you know, it may be too easy to give in to panic given our lack of familiarity with the technical public health terms like pandemic and so on. But panicking, of course, does no one any good, especially considering how much anxiety we are already facing with, you know, some other national issues that are happening.
Just some minor things. Collapse of government, things like that.
Uncertain futures, who knows?
So more on that after a break. But if you have any thoughts or questions, questions, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. So we are going to take a short break now, but first here's I Feel Free by Cream.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.